decision.
I did what was...
Well, I talked to him before he was leaving, but I also talked to him after he made the statement about Ellen getting off the stage. And about, you said splicing in later, and I said, you know, something to him for about 3 minutes, try to get it out. And a lot of interruptions all around.
Yeah, and why should I have spoken if I wasn't even, I mean, I wasn't sure I was in tactical agreement with it, you know.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's
about.
What I'm talking about. But don't say that I, when the shit hit the fan, if I had said I'm going to be with you all the way on a certain thing, I would just be with
Greek,
you. If I wasn't, I didn't know, you know,
Greek,
this was all happening between you and Bandy and...
In the middle of a spontaneous action, as lesbians and feminists, you don't stop to... question, am I going to be in tactical agreement?
I was not in tactical agreement.
Well, this is what I'm
talking
about.
Why weren't you? Did you understand what was going on?
No, it's all happening very fast.
So you did not understand it?
I didn't. I thought it when they got what they, that they would get what they wanted and have it on their terms and then start the program. That they would get the psychiatrists off and
then
go on.
So in other words, you thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
Look, I mean... You don't, that's like, you know, a lot of people, this might sound sort of off the subject, but it's like a lot of people used to say, off the pigs, and you get in jail, middle of the night in a precinct station, all of a sudden you've got a lot of revolutionaries on their knees, sucking. You don't, this is not a healthy activity, trying to change things. You go in there, you decide that you're not going to be fucked over anymore. You do the best you can, but if you go in and say, well, if it looks like we're winning,
no,
then I'm with it. I mean, you go in, we didn't know what was going to happen.
No, I don't mean winning. If it was what I thought was a constructive action, I don't think it was a constructive action. I mean, after I thought it over, I ended up thinking that nothing had been really accomplished, you see. You know, but it just happened in a sort of vacuum, and then this distorted version of the thing comes out in the Village Voice, and we're
I was
part
amazed
of your
that
shock,
even came out.
That we're your shock troops, you see. And
well,
she
also says things about me that are false.
Yeah.
She also said things about me prior to the beginning of the program that are false. She said Ruth came in, Ruth Simpson came in very uptight. I have to tell you that she was running around after me, saying, I hope we will be in agreement. Shoot, talk about uptight. So, I hope we're going to agree on everything tonight.
That means you come my way.
Yeah.
From my experiences.
She was so uptight.
See, but the thing is, why is it? See, this is what we have to get at too, somehow, if it's possible, that there's a pattern of you check. You're concerned about Jill Johnston, but not
I'm not concerned
Ruth.
About Jill Johnston.
Are you concerned about you know, the action and media stuff, as it's been talked about, and I'm certainly much less sophisticated in that area than a lot of people.
I'm not concerned about Jill Johnston and not you.
But I mean, as far as inquiring, if you weren't concerned about Jill Johnston not being part of that action.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I never brought it up.
I think that there are prejudices going on. I'm not quite... I think, you know, with different people, it's different things. And that we prefer to believe and not check out the truth, you know, on one group of people, but we do check it out on another group. And whether this is a feeling of people talk about factions. But a lot of things seem to have built up through some cultivation. In other words,
no.
But if you talk about dissatisfaction with that Bandy show,
there has been no
with people outside,
been any
what do you call it? What do you call it?
There haven't been any machinations.
You talk about what happened at the Bandy show with people who were not there.
I don't
people
think I've
who
seen you.
There.
I didn't see you.
Well, you could bring it up at a meeting if it was enough to work up more hostilities.
There was no machination about the Bandy show. When they came to our house that night, I said my feeling. That I had thought about it, and my feeling was that it had not really accomplished.
What you call, how I define machinations, or generally, is when people are acting behind the scenes for and their motives somewhat suspect. When you discuss with one group of people, two of whom were not there, you do not say it to people who were there,
well,
so that they know the other thing. Then this is building up on the other end. I mean, that is a definite kind of strategy, right? I mean, if you don't say anything, if you're talking about three people not appearing at a meeting, maybe there was some sort of, not conspiracy, but, you know, coincidence. It seems much stronger here that if you talk to people about it, now, especially people who weren't there, build up then an idea based on what two people say who were there.
I don't think that Mirko was being a strategist or anything else when she gave us her opinions of the Bandy Show. We probably did, out of curiosity, because we were invited to come to the program. And I'm certain that if it didn't come up tonight, that a discussion of it would have come up. I mean, I certainly wouldn't have just accepted Marika's opinion without asking the other people that were there of their opinion also,
right.
Especially after reading the Johnston article. You know, and you know, what Marika had to say to us was not in any way, shape, or form being a strategy.
Well, I'm saying if you have a pattern of conversations that build up dissatisfactions. If this is not just the only instance, but several, there's a pattern of something, of disruption or something. How you get at it, I don't know, because this has happened all over the movement again and again and again and again and again. And it's never really been, or I haven't ever been part of it when it was solved. It usually went so far that by the time people dealt with it, it was too late.
I think that is
that's
a woman's problem, that that women have been so conditioned to run away from things and not confront things, that out of naive liberalism, these problems come up and just worsen.
Yeah. I don't know what I could have, you know, you were, it happened spontaneously because they were there, I mean, and the conversation got around to that. I mean, if I had seen Ellen and Eileen, and I mean, if they had been over and we had been talking,
but
I think I would have said that.
You came to the house afterwards and you talked
about it. Yeah, but I hadn't figured it out. I was thinking maybe it was an admirable thing. I hadn't really figured it out. That's what I've been trying to explain. I tried to figure out what I really thought about it.
I have to say again, and I'm talking about playing the heavy, I think it's very poor to include in any action somebody who has to wait a couple of days to figure out what happened and whether they were going to be in tactical agreement, and everything happened so fast. I don't need anyone like this.
Well, fine.
I mean in an action. Because that is as bad as including an enemy.
It is not. That's the way you talk, Ruth, that alienates a lot of people.
Like,
I mean,
what she's talking. She's putting
example.
You on the line and saying, I'm not sure that you're a friend.
You're
you seem
enemy.
To be undercutting. You seem to be undercutting. You are not contributing.
She's calling me an enemy because
she's saying
you were acting like it. No, I didn't act. I didn't do it.
You didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything against your action, which is what an enemy does by definition.
Why is it your action? When you have people, I mean, they're two sides. And like, I've been in things
because
where
I
didn't like the action
at audience,
all.
To be in an audience and to ask questions. That's what I went up there for, to 51st Street.
But
when
I
got there,
when I got there,
it was a completely different thing, and what happened was completely out of what I've been told. When I was told when I was told to go to St. Patrick's, I knew what I was marching for, or what I was doing, and I did it. You usually know what
you knew as much as we did.
Yeah. Well, I am not you, and that my instinctive reaction was what I've described, and I had to. then I heard, well, that there was going to be some sort of positive fruit that there was.
Well, we did everything we could. We don't control the New York Post either. It was I was astounded when Jill came out with that piece. I was just astounded. But the point is, you do things very often. They're never heard about. They never get out. You do the best you can. But the point is, first of all, what you're doing, and to try and figure out what's right there, and not to collaborate again in a screw job as the media has done. And there's certain points, like when they say psychiatrists on lesbianism, you know that the handwriting is on the wall.
I would like to say to you, you said that's the way you talk, Ruth. This is the first time I've said this to anyone.
No, but that aggressive way that you talk it alienates a lot of people. Like saying that's as good as having an enemy. That's not.
You're saying she's making a value judgment. One of the things I have not done enough in the movement, and that's really been the treachery, is I haven't said it often enough when I thought people were betraying women, and it's happened again and again and again and again. I think this march is a betrayal of women. I think we are so desperate. We have so many people desperately needing help. We have so few people giving it. I am so ashamed at the women who call me on the telephone begging for help, and I try and send them places, but I know it's not going to be there. So, I mean, it's about time that women started saying that's betraying women.
I think it's a betrayal of human beings not to be on the march on the 24th.
Well, if you're talking about women, there's only one group left over. Well, you know, that's... Nobody is going to fight for women except women. Nobody. And very few of them. And lots of times, nobody likes to have... Lots of times I haven't said things because I thought, oh God, oh, I don't want it to come out, the ugliness that I know is there. But if it's not said, then it just keeps on. And in a sense, people who don't make value judgments, and I know I've hated it because I'm afraid of the ugliness is going to come out, that then I betray women by that, because I say, oh, well, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. The betrayal of lesbianism went on, and now it still does. Of many different issues, that church conference, all those things. That people hate you when you do something else. But then what we're saying is that, I mean, actually, we just don't want to have to face what we know is there, which is, you know, a lot of shit when you start fighting.
If Ruth wasn't strong, we would still have Alma on the newsletter, who whose editorial views were completely against any growth of DOB.
Well, that's your opinion of Alma, you see. I hear a lot of different opinions.
That is, Alma admitted she doesn't like the direction DOB is going in.
She said so.
And she likes DOB to be.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, I don't know Alma's ideology. I don't know Alma's ideology, but I'm not going to take your word for her ideology.
Right, well, these things should be brought out in the open, like Playboy. I mean, the fact that you think that Playboy is not in some way distinct on women is something that can be brought out and discussed.
I don't think that they are any more corrupt than the other
on
media
women,
that
on
you,
women.
That's used.
There's nothing special about their purpose and function vis-a-vis women.
I think there are pictures, half-naked pictures of women in almost every magazine in America. I mean, you know, they're just more naked.
What's your definition of pornography?
Lewd pictures.
Well, it's very political. If you take just even the pulp stuff and see
the movies, everything is exploiting women. I mean, the ads that Life magazine has exploit women.
We have four new people to go, and I think for us to spend workshop time discussing whether or not Playboy is any different from the Sunday Times I have to express a very strong feeling. I think this is really spinning wheels over nothing. In a feminist workshop, to be sitting around when we have...
Can I just say two more things? There aren't any machinations going on about Lynn... running for president, because she doesn't want to run for president.
No one said there were machinations for Lynn as president.
Underground. That's, I just wanted to clear that up.
Eileen?
Not to freak out, to buy yourself everything, to say anything. All I know is that some of the problems here are exhausting. You know, some of my problems are just exhausting. And I would rather be home reading than to have to get up and come over to DOB. On the other hand, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something over here.
I didn't feel by what I said. I don't want to hurt people.
I feel that you're in some kind of pain all the time that I don't understand, that hurts you, and that I don't understand it. And I don't know where it comes from or where it's going or what it's doing to you, but I feel that you're suffering and that you're struggling with it. And I don't take it personally. Because when you say you don't trust me, you don't even know me, so how can you not trust me? So I can't take it personally. I was just shocked. Because as I told you, I was in awe of you, the way you ran that marathon. You were so articulate, and just the whole day handling so many different people and so many different pressures and different schedules, and you just kept all day handling each crisis as it came up. I was just absolutely amazed that you would keep going like that. And I just felt warmth for you, and you remind me of somebody from my adolescence who I love very much. And that added to the warm feeling. And I think you're exotic looking. And I just had feelings like this. And when you said that, I was really just shocked, because I thought, she doesn't know me well enough not to trust me. Know me a little bit. Don't worry.
I had a student in George Washington High School. I took it for 3 weeks. And so I couldn't stand there anymore. And there was this black student and this white teacher, racist teacher. Pulled her out, and she was, I never seen such anger. And she said, "One, I don't trust you." And she said, "Once you know, you see one, you see them all." Mm. And I'm dealing with it too.
Yeah, I know.
And when I see people who are honest, I think you are honest. I think I feel honesty, and yet it's hard for me to trust you.
Yeah, that's
right. Because once
that's
you see right. one, you see them all.
Yeah, that's it.
You know. And it's something I have to deal with.
But
as
I said, the reason
but then it does exist too.
The reason I feel you don't trust me is that it's very painful for me to be part of a group, and I am a recluse at heart. And I force myself out, and I've been out now for about 6 months. And Ellen and I have spent many years being recluses. And so I thought maybe you sense that this, I'm always withdrawing inside of myself in a way. And I thought maybe this is what led you to not trust me, so you're justified if you feel that I'm withdrawing and going back into myself again. So I thought maybe you sensed that. I was just shocked that you saw that in me. That's what I thought it was.
It's not only you. It's hard for me to trust even the lawyers over there, because they look like bougie-like people.
Well, I had already met Mary, Mary, who was just divine, a beautiful
well, and
treasure. And oh, you had too. Well, they're from a different world, but I feel they're very good, and they're fighters and they're strugglers.
I think what shocks me is, you know, I feel that way about men. And I think one thing, it sort of, like, I really do. I am not just to men often. I think when in doubt, leap. And I have misunderstood it, I think, in that, like, so often in the women's movement, I found women will jump at women, but they won't really jump at the enemy. And I didn't see it in a racial way, then, because I saw both you and Marlene, you know, angry, and it seemed angry somehow together at the same thing.
The workshop is so important when we're such a small group. You want us to be able to work together. And then I want to end with it. It's very important.
did you feel personally?
Not you all. I can only kiss my face.
And it's hard to say sometimes why one cries, especially if one works hard at not doing it. And I know you weren't crying before, and I wondered today, why were you crying today? For somebody whom I assume doesn't cry very much, maybe for me.
Well, just because I understand. How Anne feels, and I know how hard it is. I understand because, and never to the extent that Anne knows, but because I was for a year the only white girl in the hospital with, and I was lasting for weeks. And I saw 100 times a day every single one of them, and it's true. I understand. Anne has to feel the way she feels. Because it's true. And it's such a hard work. And also the workshop is so important for all of us. That's one of the last hopes. And we've got to be close and work together and make them count.
It's a funny thing about the loneliness. It's so bad that we have to be lonely. When we of all people need it so badly. The irony. And I don't know, you know, I think one thing that frightens me all the time is there's never been anything that's changed depression. And I think the further you go and the more you try to reach out, the more you see the difficulties. And it's what I brought up at the beginning about what I found hardest to deal with was what happens to people themselves who are oppressed, all of us. How we deal with it, all of us. I mean, sometimes wanting to pretend things are better than they are. Alberta?
It's very difficult because it's very painful for all of us. And a lot still has not been said that should be said. But if everyone's guilty, I'm guilty as well. And that's hard to take because your guilt doesn't always lie within you in the sense that you said something or did something, but sometimes, many times, it's something that you didn't do that makes you guilty. And the whole evening is saddened by the fact that it's taken us this long to get here. And I think we've all made one mistake in that. It's a mistake I've made, and it's hard to realize. I assume that because you're a woman, you can trust another woman, and that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I've known since I was a child you cannot trust men, so that's secondary, and that's an old story. So I don't deal with men, I deal with women.
That's a put-down, by the way.
How do you mean?
You know, if you say you know that you were a child, you couldn't trust men.
Yeah, well, my background is quite a bit different than most
right.
Probably that would give me that kind of knowledge. I want to answer Anne directly because prior to the workshop, I had dealt with DOB. But that was 6 years ago, and DOB was quite different. In coming back to DOB, and the reason I came back is because I finished my education and now had time to spend in fighting something that I agreed with. When DOB existed before, I didn't agree with it because there was not too much being done, except a few cookie parties and socials. A lesbian's not going to get too far that way. When I came back to DOB, I was overwhelmed by what was going on. Okay, the workshop was the first kind of fighting thing to get into, and I jumped at the chance. And I jumped at the chance for one thing, for one reason. I saw a woman who happened to be rude. And I'm going to try not to mention names unless necessary, because I think that's all somehow irrelevant because a lot of damage has been done, myself included, in terms of damaging by not speaking.
That particular image of that woman doing something led me to the workshop. She never said, come to the workshop. I read, the workshop is going to be this and that. All right, I jumped because I saw what she was doing. I saw a lot about the lesbians, but they didn't mean too much. So I came, and through the workshop, I met many people. I've learned two things. I've learned a great deal about people, and I've learned half of that about logic. What I've learned about logic has helped me a great deal because I have arguments every day. Maybe it's part of my nature, the people I work with, I don't know, but I don't particularly care. I'm testing. And they happen to be my guinea pigs. So
you're winning.
Yes. Slowly, you know, kind of thing. But the one person I do want to talk to now is Anne. Anne, I'm impatient to talk to you because I want to approach you in a particular way. Saturday I was there. I didn't get into too much of a discussion that went on, even though I was trying to view it, but I couldn't because it already had begun. So I stayed out, because I had no right to be in that case. I tried not to form too many views because I knew the emotion. I tried calming, but it didn't work, right? When you went around, you know, embracing at the time, I was hoping you wouldn't embrace me because I would have rejected you at that point. Not because I didn't like you, or because I didn't, you know, want to embrace you, because I've embraced you too many times, but because of the kind of emotion that had happened. Because we've been into, you know, just at the, you know, we've been socializing just dances everywhere outside the workshop, which is not necessarily relevant to the workshop, because that was a meeting ground for the thing. So that is all, again, secondary. But I must agree with you in this, that white people are racist. And it's something we have to unlearn. And aside from everybody, I've had a rapport with you that I haven't had with anybody else in the workshop. And I've dealt with you more intellectually than anyone else. And you've played with me on the same ground. And so we've come to an understanding, which is nice. I wish I could get to everybody that way, but that takes time. But I want to get back now to the problems of the workshop. Having, again, come from a situation totally outside of you, being into the workshop, having been introduced to the confrontation in Washington, which was relatively new to me as an individual, I found problems in that the first thing that came up with me, and I'm sure, although I cannot rely on my memory, that I express it to others. And so I'll make a statement, I did. I expressed to others that, gee, I didn't have all the information I should have had, but apparently I did, because I'm beginning to find that not too many people have information.
Yeah.
Secondly,
the enemy doesn't give you detailed plans, do it.
I expressed the view that I felt that I was possibly being used as a pawn at that time. And that upset me. It upset me because none of us want to be used. Then I began to realize that the pawn situation was not a reality. Again, the information problem. It's a learning process. And it's, again, sad that we all had to learn, you know, this kind of route. So I went through that bit, and the last time we I have that kind of, you know, little lock and bolt, which comes slowly over time. In any case, again, the workshop problem is that having heard all sides, and throughout all of this, you try to deal tactfully with people, and my position was, gee, this might be true, gee, that might be true, I haven't felt this, but that doesn't mean I negate it, because I haven't felt it, or I haven't necessarily thought it, because every person's feelings and whatever they think are valid to the point where if I find something that makes it false, then I will say, well, I disagree with you. But unless I,
until I find something that's false about it, I have to assume that that's true. And so my position, I've tried to be objective, and that's difficult because that takes time and knowledge and knowing. And that's something we're all here to find out about. So I've tried to write a very middle line by saying, gee, if that's how you feel, say something. It's an individual responsibility we all face. I can preach that, but I haven't done too much about it. So that's where my guilt lies. I've known a lot of these things. But again, I didn't want to oppress my own sisters by saying, hey, Lynn, you did that, or hey, Mariko, you did that, or hey, Marlene, you did that. Well, you know, I could say that to them behind the scenes, but it's up to them to come. If they're having the problem, if they feel the thing, they've got to present it. I can't present it for them, no matter what the feeling is.
But if it's making trouble, if it's really actually operating.
That's the kind of principle I have to deal with. If people give me information about their attitudes, feelings, thinking, whatever, is it my responsibility to go to the workshop and say, hey, I think, you know, so-and-so said this? That is gossiping.
No, not unless you see it in a group where it could be operating on another person, too. And, you know, that seems to have been a difficulty a number of people have felt here, but I think it's partly led to the position we're in now.
Yes. Obviously. But that's
what makes you feel like a bully?
No, it's not something I feel now, it's something I felt. But then that was a lack of information, lack of experience on my part alone. The responsibility lies in the fact that if I felt this, I should have come to the table, you see, after Washington and said, hey, I feel like Juan. Why? But I didn't, because I was gutless. Because I didn't have the courage to come out and say, you know, there, I'm guilty. I can't, you know, it's me. Since then, you know, we've come a few steps from that. And there have been other kinds of confrontations that have taught me that being a pawn is not bad, providing you know what you're being a pawn for. It's when you're not sure as to your interaction with the kind of activity that's going on that you can view yourself as a pawn. But if you understand the complete interaction, being a pawn can be quite wonderful in that a pawn does a great deal of work and is an important feedback to something happening. So that's where my difficulty has been with the whole workshop, because people are seldom in that sense bad. I can't look at anybody in this workshop and say, hey, you're going to hurt me, because no one's really going to hurt me, because I have my own kind of defense mechanisms going where I'm going to prevent that. But just in terms of relating to all of you, each one is just so different. You know, there's a whole series of delicacies. I've had no, you know, head-on run-ins with anybody, and each one has been too various and too informative and too many other kinds of things that they're filled with. But the only problem is, again, not bringing all these things to the surface and placing them before the table like a matchbook. And that's where I feel the most strain. So I know this about somebody that they've told me. Someone else has told me something else, and I've maybe related it a little bit with them. The fact that it's been underground is bad. And that's the whole problem. I don't care if you want to sit here and scream and shout and pound on the table. If it's on the table, that's important. Because if it's not, the workshop is not going to continue. And if it doesn't continue, you're dead too. I would be dying in a large way. And it's, if you're guilty, I'm guilty in the same way.
But
I don't know how much sense that makes to you.
There was a very dramatic confrontation.
Yes, but I can attribute a greater portion of that in this respect, that I knew why the conference, not so much as to why it happened, but what the buildup was, and the fact that these two people did not want to carry it. And because they didn't want to carry it, they threw it at you. And I'm not trying to defend them, because I don't throw things like that because I can't. It's my responsibility. I would not confront a person in that way. It's just some people have to. And I don't know if there's any way of negating that or explaining it or understanding it. It's a bit too harsh for me to do something like that. But, you know, some people have to, they have to. I have no explanation other than the fact that, gee.
I still think their position in some way was different in terms of what they were getting as feeder, or something was different, because regardless of the feelings I have about it, none of them are crazy. And
how do you mean to do?
I mean that I think that without a tremendous amount of building up from the outside or from, you know, different things operating within. I mean, like one thing that was brought up, I didn't want to deal with at all. That you remember, I cross-checked it with you later, because if I don't see something, then I've got to check it, you know, especially if it's somebody I'm close to. That Ruth had felt that Marlene was upset that Anne and I were staying in the bedroom so long talking.
Can I clarify? Just something else. I felt that the upset was due to the people that were there. Now, if I'm going someplace for an interaction with people because of what they're into, I want to find out what they're into. They don't want to find out anything, damn it, is to ask questions. When I got there, I was late, an hour late, and I quickly checked with the people that I'm most familiar with. Anne and Marlene. So what happened? What's going on here? What do you know about this? Well, gee, I found out people had been discussing dogs and cats. Quite coolly, I said, oh, they're into the movement too, great. However, I wanted information. So I quickly said, boom, 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 and I got my information from these people. Marlene said, gee, that was nice, and then died down. By that time, you and Anne were into some kind of conversation. Beautiful. And then you adjourned to your room to, you know,
I found that book, by the way.
Right. And what was happening in the living room was dying down, was going dead. The other women who were there, because of who they are, the kind of lives they live, the kind of, you know, they're basically square people, which is, you know, okay. But they're doing something important. And after I got my immediate questions answered, that's where I once mentioned to you that there was a responsibility that if you didn't feel you had, people automatically gave to you. And sometimes it's like, if you don't direct something, nothing's going to get directed.
Yeah, but at the time, remember I said, Marlene came into the bedroom.
Let me answer that. See, that's another thing that I don't like about you. Is that you make accusations without making them to the person. You made a suggestion that I was upset that these two were in the room speaking, but you didn't make it to me. You made accusations about Lynn the other night, but you never made them to Lynn. I was so bored to death with the conversation about the dogs and the cats. And
that conversation lasted 5 minutes at most.
Let me finish. Alberta went to the bathroom, and I got up to go to the bathroom at the same time. And Alberta and I met at the door of the bathroom, and Ingrid came in too, right?
Yeah.
And I said to Alberta, I said, gee, this is really boring, or something like that. I said, I'm ready to leave. And Alberta said, yes, and it would help if those two would get out of the bedroom and come back out in the other room. And she said to me, Marlene, why don't you go in and tell them to come out of it?
But Alberta, why didn't you say
that? So I did.
Why didn't you say that?
Because we couldn't speak about the incident. We had made a pact.
No, no, not about what just happened there. And I said, you know, after the big blow up, and I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just really, I couldn't understand that at all, right? And
right.
I said, I was trying to find any clues at all, and I should have, I thought, really, Alberta, you were going to bring it up. And I should have waited until Ruth brought it up, because I'm sure she would have tonight.
Absolutely.
That's perhaps my mistake not to
have.
Absolutely. That's a key
but,
point.
No, but I said to you, Ruth said, and when Ruth came in the bathroom, she said, I think Marlene's upset. You came back and you said something about being boring and all, and I jumped off because I thought, as I said, I had my guilty hostess feeling, right? And I thought, well, maybe they are boring, and then I wasn't in there. But I also felt defensive because I know some of those women have really worked years, very hard for women.
Yeah.
So when Ruth said that, I just thought, one, I couldn't cope with it. And that's defensive. But then after that blow up, I said, Alberta, I want to ask you something. Because I didn't want to just take one person, somebody I'm close to. I said, did you
Did you notice anything? Did you notice that Marlene was upset?
No, the question was there something going on?
Was there something going on? Right. And then I specified it more. And you said, as far as something going on, that Marlene was upset, because Anne and I were talking about Fan Chen, the woman's movement, the, you know, this whole thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, whatever.
But it was, I thought it was very clear. And I said, because Marlene came back in and said, this is very boring. I want to leave soon. You two come on out.
In the back room?
That's what I said, okay. Right?
Well, I don't know.
That was not discussing what's going on in this workshop. That was trying to clarify what had just erupted there.
Wait.
And that's why
stop,
I asked you about that. You didn't say anything about that you had both gone back and that's what she'd said and that you had all felt that way.
I understand that part, but let's just take it a little slower, step by step, to clarify something. When we met at the bathroom, we agreed that the conversation after we had asked numerous amounts of questions and so forth had stopped.
No, that was before they came back and there was this explosion.
You're talking about the eruption.
Right.
Okay.
After they came back, then that's what I was talking about, and that's all. And
well,
I said, trying to understand.
Good, that's a clarification.
And I remember you were standing in back of this chair,
right.
Across the wall.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, no, this is really.
No, this is a fine line.
It's important. No, it's not fine line.
It
no, it's
good.
Not fine line.
Why?
Because I purposely didn't want to discuss it, and I never did with Ruth, because I thought, because we're close, I don't want my judgment to be at all influenced. So I said, no, don't say anything. Ruth, Alberta, did you notice anything? I wish I could remember the exact words, but I remember clarifying it. Trying to see what could cause such an emotional eruption, and maybe there was something else behind it. Did you notice Marlene was upset that Anne and I were talking so long, we're back in the bedroom and so forth, right?
Okay, understood. I understand that completely well in this respect.
Because I said what Marlene said to me was she was bored, that it was very boring in there, and we should come back in there.
I understand that completely. We did have that conversation at the bathroom door pertaining to the fact that we made an agreement in that we agreed that at this point, because you've been speaking for ever since I got there, which was maybe let's say 45 minutes had gone by, and you're still into something, which was apparently important to both, I would assume, to Anne.
That we're both, who are you talking
about? No, I'm talking about you and Anne relating in conversation.
Right.
And I would automatically assume it was something to do with some kind of information Anne either wanted
to. No, we were discussing about Kathy Motnick, Fan Chen.
Well, whatever.
Woman's movie, right.
Whatever it was, it would be irrelevant to the point that we're trying to get at. But when the conversation died down in the other room, we felt at that time that, gee, the key thing to all this was getting T. Grace out there to direct more and get more information in terms of who these women are.
No, but what I'm saying is that evening, after...
Later on, after the whole blow-up,
right.
You asked me the question, was there something going on?
No, I said, do you think, trying to explain this, and I wish I could remember the exact words, because you said, I'm not quite sure what you mean,
mm-hmm.
And I clarified it, and you never brought up... I mean, what would have clarified it completely would have been if you had said, well, as a matter of fact, the three of us, or I met Marlene at the bathroom, and that's what she said... to me there that she was very bored and wanted to go, because the question I was asking was an attempt, and I remember clarifying it, and you said, I'm not sure I understand, and then I forget, it was something like, was jealousy or something like that, which to me just seemed incredible,
mm-hmm.
And until the blow up, I didn't even entertain the idea, and then I wanted your judgment being, in that sense, not directly involved, and I wish I could remember the exact words, because I was very careful, and I was quite certain that you said, yes, that you had noticed that, and you mentioned nothing about Marlene and you and Ingrid having talked together, which would have thrown a whole different light on it.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, you thought that Marlene was jealous because we were in the bedroom.
But we were talking all the time. Right, right.
And that's why we blew up.
Well, that was the only thing I could think of.
Oh, exactly.
That's why I said, because here was this blow up from, I couldn't figure out, so I'm looking
no,
for it, and I'm thinking.
That's what I kept saying, writing the middle line was very difficult.
No, not writing the middle line. You didn't give us information that would have clarified it. And that was not secret. That was not what we weren't supposed to discuss. The workshop thing, that was what had just happened that evening. And this blow up that had just occurred.
But what happened that evening in terms of the blow up was not even relevant to the evening.
It was relevant to people being freaked out
upset and trying to understand.
Yeah, but when Ed and Marlene came in, they came in with
the movement. Right, but the freaking out was due to other things. It wasn't due to that evening.
But it seemed like something happened during the evening that something...
Yeah, but I'm just saying when I ask the question, you say, Ruth making accusations.
Mm.
Ruth said, began to say something. I just cut it off with one. I find that very hard to deal with, first of all, because that's one reason I have a lot of questions about sexuality in general, right? That people go nuts. So I didn't want to deal with that. You come in,
it's
right?
Important.
You've left and everything seemed okay. You come in and all of a sudden, you know, like we're splattered all over the wall.
Why that very evening.
You explained.
Yeah, let me explain again. Ruth asked me why all of a sudden the blow up. And I said it that night. I said, because as we were leaving the door, Ruth said to me, and she pointed her finger